Welcome to Lakemount Worship Center, connecting you to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. We hope that you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
It was the day of preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews, but they shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered, and finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. And here they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened it to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." John chapter 19, John's reflections on the crucifixion of Jesus. He talks about how Pilate was actually conflicted with this Jesus, conflicted about the claims that he had made and not being able to really find fault, but seeing that there was an uprising starting. And so he had a sign prepared, posted it onto the cross, "King of the Jews." The Pharisees objected. They were upset because they said, "Well, just say that he claimed it. Don't say that he was the King of the Jews." Pilate didn't back down. He said, "No, what I've written, I've written." And so for the Pharisees, they were upset with Jesus and his ministry. It's hard for us to fathom what's there to be upset about, a man who is teaching and prophesying and healing sick people and casting demons out of people. But for them, they saw him as a huge threat. And for them, Jesus was a false prophet. That's what they saw when Jesus was being crucified. They saw that he was a heretic, that he needed to be put to death because he was claiming. They covered their ears and cried out, "You've heard it for yourselves. He's claiming to be the Son of God. Put him to death." They wanted him dead because they considered him to be an imposter. What he's claiming and what he's saying is not the truth. And he's leading people away from what we're teaching, leading them away from our soundness of doctrine. And they couldn't recognize Jesus as anything but an imposter. They considered him to be a liar, that his claims weren't true whatsoever. And in the years that have transpired since the crucifixion of Jesus, other things have been attached to him. Many see him as a hater, not taking the time to investigate what Jesus said or what Jesus did, but instead beholding his message as one of narrow-minded exclusivity and pushing people away. And so for many, the crucifixion is trying to put an end to all of this, the heresy, the false prophecy, the false claims, being an imposter and a liar. Put an end to that narrow way of if anyone wants to come to the Father, you have to come through me. And not listening for the welcome to if anyone, instead saying, no, any ask of me to change is hateful and harsh. And so this is what the Pharisees saw. This is what they beheld as crucifixion. This is what was dying. This man. And in their mind and their judgment, he deserved a crucifying death. Nails through his wrists and his feet, sword plunged in his side, the crown of thorns in his head, the beard plucked from his face. That's what this man deserved. Hell saw the threat of God's intervention in redeeming the human race to our original design and purpose. Hell saw that if Jesus could be put to death, the plan of salvation could be thwarted. And so in the scheme of darkness, the religious spirit and the obedient military of the Romans just doing what they were told, all conspired together to put to death this man. But the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so there was so much more going on the cross than the human mind could ever conceive or the heart ever be able to perceive. There was a whole lot more that was happening. And the Apostle Paul writes of it in Romans chapter 6. He speaks about what was really going on, that while the religious spirit and the kingdom of darkness was crucifying and offering capital punishment to this is how they labeled him. This is what they saw being killed that day. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 6. To believers, to those who with the eyes of faith look beyond just the surface of things, and maybe even if you're not a believer, maybe you're just kind enough to say, well, I don't think he was a false prophet or a heretic or anything like that. I just think he was a prophet, and it was a miscarriage of justice. It was just sad and tragic. To believers, to those whose spiritual eyes are open to see beyond just a capital punishment or just a good man or a bad man being put to death, but actually seeing the purpose and the plan of God, the gift of God, faith, opening our eyes to see. This is what Paul says. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin may be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. What the Apostle Paul is saying in that passage is that more than we could even possibly comprehend, or what could have been comprehended in the moment, and what Jesus' disciples failed to grasp as he told them openly that he was going to die for the sins of the world. The Apostle Paul preaches by revelation and recorded in Scripture by the breath of God for our understanding is that actually on that Good Friday, when Jesus died, a whole bunch of stuff inside of us, we died with him too. And so the good news of Good Friday is that what was being crucified to the cross was our separation from God. That we could actually be drawn near to God. Our separation from God was crucified that day. Our shame was crucified that day. That being embarrassed and feeling the darkness of maybe things that we've done or things that have been done to us, it was actually crucified that day. It died that day. Guess what? Our sin died that day. Everything that you have ever done that offended the law of God, Jesus actually came, and when he was dying on the cross, your sin died with him. Your sin died with him. Listen, our suffering died. Our suffering, the things that we've gone through that is hard for us to wrap our minds around, and we ask why, we cry in the night, why me? Why this? Why you know, war? Why famine? Why loss? Why tragedy? And Jesus came and he stepped in as a man of sorrows and he took our suffering and he died for it. He took sickness. The Bible says that by his stripes we're healed. When he was beaten and split open, when he died, listen, sickness died. That he opened up for us a whole new way of life. That there's a realm of eternal glory where sickness will no longer have any hold over us. But here in this life, faith to believe that on that cross, sickness died. And we have every right to believe for healing to be our portion right now. Listen, abuse died. The things that have happened to you that you had no control over, that try to mark and steer your life to live like a young sapling that gets bent and the whole tree grows crooked, Jesus actually stepped into that, took that upon himself. Listen, it's possible, like we just read from Romans 6, to live a new kind of life. And not just like, okay, I have the hope of heaven when I die, but a whole new kind of life that you could actually live where someone would go, sorry, what happened to you? You don't act or sound like someone who went through that at all. Well, yeah, I did go through it and I still, you know, there's some scars, but the abuse has not bent my life. I've been born again because the abuse died that day. Listen, I got good news for you, that addiction died on the cross that day. The things that you have, you know, given yourself to, and then it started to take over. The things that you can't seem to conquer and find victory over, addiction died. Here's a big one. Death died. What a powerful reality that we think of death as permanent, but death died on the cross that day, that Jesus actually killed death. He laid death in the grave when he laid down his life. That, listen, through faith in him, there's a whole new kind of life that we can live now. But through faith in Jesus Christ, we have the hope of eternity in heaven. That when we lose someone in the Lord, we don't grieve as those who have no hope. Why? Because we'll see them again. Why? Because heaven has been opened to us. We have hope in this life and for the next. These things actually died that day. So therefore, by faith in Christ, listen, this is what we see happen. There's a whole lot more going on than we realized. When Jesus died, a whole new way of living was opened up to us. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, that I... And if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you can throw yourself into Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. And nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What's that saying? That's saying what was underneath all of these accusations. What hell saw, they missed it. And in the perfect wisdom of God, used the devil's plan to backfire against him. And that through faith in Jesus' name, I actually was crucified that day. If you have faith in Jesus, you were crucified on Good Friday. We were hidden in Christ. And I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. My whole life is different because of Good Friday. And I have a whole new way of living. So here's the deal. All of that pain, all of that shame, all of that separation from God, death, all of that has been taken care of because the Bible says that it's God's love that covers a multitude of sins. And on Good Friday, love covered it all. The cross is God's love expressed to us. We don't see the labels that were there anymore. That He has cleansed us and made a new way for us. His love covers a multitude of sin. And it's with that in mind that I want us to hold the emblems in our hand and reflect on what the Apostle Paul said about the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" He took the bread. And what we've got to grasp is before what we're looking at illustrated here, this is broken for you. And as we partake of it, we take Romans 6 from a concept and we physically metabolize it by eating this wafer this morning. We take this as a prophetic act and saying, it's not just positive thought or just hoping for the best. It's not just religion at all, but I actually, through partaking of this bread, I'm saying, "Lord, I embrace that I died that day." Sometimes we struggle with the things that are hard for us to give up in our present life, the things that maybe we're still wrestling with, things that maybe are addictive and hold power over us, or things that maybe we feel are still enjoyable and guilty pleasures, or things that we just are unwilling to put down. And that's why the Bible says we need to examine ourselves and consider what we're doing when we hold this bread. "This is my body broken for you." That I don't want to just focus on the benefits of, okay, cleanse my sin, but I'm going to keep doing my thing. Instead, I embrace that you broke the power of sin over me, and it's possible for me to live a new life. Can we partake together of the broken body of the Lord? In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Love covers a multitude of sins. And it's this shed blood, perfect blood, perfect man, fully God, fully man, but lived in perfection, spilled His perfect blood on our behalf that we could be cleansed, forgiven. And as I said from 2 Corinthians 5:21, that I could be made the righteousness of God. That as I participate in communion, walk through the waters of baptism, pray the prayer of faith, and offer my life to the Lord and say, "Lord, lead and guide my life. I die to sin. I'm alive in Him. I've got a whole new way of living and seeing, because He has actually washed all of it away. Love covers all of it. His blood covers all of it. And when God looks at me and God looks at you as a child of His, covered with the blood of Jesus, He sees, listen, His very own righteousness." Let's partake of the cup together this morning. Come on, just give Him thanks all over this room. Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you.
You know, the Pharisees got it wrong. All of hell got it wrong. And even in that first century, the disciples couldn't fully figure it out. And we read John sharing his account of the crucifixion and how all the disciples ran. They couldn't fully see what was going on. But later, John, the beloved disciple, in persecution, in exile for his faith in Christ, had a revelation of Jesus, the final book in the canon of Scripture, the book of Revelation, where he caught a glimpse of his best friend through eyes of faith. In Revelation chapter 19, he said, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, his own blood. And his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule the nations with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name inscribed: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus, and he paid for the sins of the world. Come on and praise him this morning. Father, we want to thank you. Jesus, we want to thank you. Holy Spirit, we want to thank you for Good Friday. Thank you that sin died, death died, abuse died, addiction died, separation from God died. You brought us and washed us and made us to be the righteousness of God. Thank you that through faith in your name, the gift of God given to us by your grace, we can sing with confidence, I'm yours and you're mine. We'll be together forever. Thank you, Lord, for a secure hope that is an anchor for the soul. I thank you, Lord, for the power of the cross available in this room. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, that the healing virtue that was paid for on the cross of Calvary would be released all over this room. We thank you, Lord, in this atmosphere, God, healing and miracles are not only possible, they're inevitable. They're happening now in the name of the Lord. And we ask, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that there would just be a release of your Spirit. Father, we pray, Lord, for miracles of relationship, miracles of breakthrough. That, Father, we would walk, Lord, in the power of the cross every day of our lives, living our devoted lives in light of your sacrifice. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Woo! Thank you, Lord. How many can agree it's a Good Friday? Praise the Lord. Greet somebody. If you could do us a favor, if you could take your communion cup with you, and that will just help us prepare for the next service. Greet somebody, shake hands, give a hug, a holy kiss if you feel like it. Have an amazing Good Friday. And we'll see you Sunday morning celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ together.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at lakemount.ca or download our app for your mobile device.